Welcome to the Geek Actually After Show, episode 96 for the 7th of August, 2010. This is our unstructured, unruled, out of control after show where we basically have no rules. And although I pull a couple of stories down to make sure I have something to talk about, generally we don't stay on book. We can basically talk about anything we want. We've already recorded the two main shows. This is where we just basically put the microphones back on and just talk about whatever comes to our geek minds. I am David McVeigh, and I am joined, as always, by Josh Philpott. How are you?
I'm fine. Still.
Still.
Yes. See? Yeah, I can
no
be positive.
No tired this whole week. That's
yeah,
good.
Take any that. Of the shows. I'm enjoying rubbing this in. This is just why I'm doing this.
See, I should just never have brought it to your attention.
Yeah, damn
just
right.
Kept doing it forever
I would have just
ever,
kept
ever.
Doing it.
Now, Dave, we've got some notes here, and we're going to talk about a few things and this and that and the next thing. First thing I want to say is that the new poster for the Yogi Bear movie came out, and it's got Yogi Bear standing over Boo Boo looking very menacing, and I think that was the Slash Film website that actually referred to it as Pedo Bear. Which, yeah, it's not a particularly nice looking. I don't have it here to show the live audience, but if you go to Slash Film, they have a copy of that poster up now to have a look at. And it's kind of disturbing. It's a little disturbing. We also have a trailer that we'll show a little bit later, because, of course, we have more trailers than we can ever fit into the main show. And this trailer just made me kind of giggle. I don't know if you're a fan of Jackass or not.
No.
I thought the first Jackass was stupid. Don't get me wrong, they're all stupid, all right? Mm-hmm. But against all better judgment, it actually made me laugh out loud.
Have you ever watched and enjoyed Funniest Home Videos?
Yes.
You see, no, I never have.
I don't actually watch Funniest Home Videos. Like, I wouldn't turn over and watch it.
Yeah.
But Nicholas is obsessed by it. Yeah. And so he watches it and makes him laugh all the time. And, of course, when you watch an entire episode of Funniest Home Videos, there are always going to be one or two that make you laugh out loud, just like Jackass. And they have now made Jackass 3. And we've got the trailer for it. And their big selling point is they've shot it in 3D. So now all of their stunts are coming right out at you. And
then, great. I really want to see Steve-O running around in a nappy in 3D.
Oh, yeah. Their stunts in this one, because they're doing it in 3D, are a little bit more extreme than that. Things like sitting in portaloos and launching them into the air and stuff like that.
So, you can't knock them for creativity, at
no,
least.
You can't. In fact, it's not on the note. Let's do that now, because I think we need a giggle. So let's have a look at this, because this is just out of its tree. For those who like Jackass, this is for you. For those who don't like it, turn away for the next minute and a half or so. So here is Jackass 3D.
This isn't the best idea ever.
When Time magazine called 3D the future of movies. We doubt this is what they had in mind.
You're taking it to a whole other level.
Yep.
Look pretty happy about it.
Me and the boys are about to do a little duck hunting. Ho!
All right, that one I'll pay.
Santa did have a couple last night, so this ain't gonna feel too good.
How much have you been? High five!
Oh, God.
High five.
All right, the two things, the man catapult duck hunting was quite cool, and admittedly that high five thing is just...
That high five took me so off guard when I saw the trailer first time. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
I think that's more why I was laughing at it, just because you just look at it and you're like, where the fuck did that come from?
there's that moment in the first Jackass film where... The little guy, you know, what's his name? They refer to him
little
as
man.
Little man or wee man?
Wee man.
They refer to him as wee man. And he's walking along, and out of the like, off screen, you hear somebody go, "Hey, wee man, kick yourself in the head." And he just kicks himself, he just lifts his leg up and kicks himself in the head. And he's sitting there and go, "Where did that come from?" Oh dear. No, but see, this thing, it says at least it's worth to get it out on DVD when it comes out. No, I want to see it in 3D. I want to see that guy catapult through the air in 3D. I'm sorry. All right, so that's just a little bit of nonsense. Quick point here. This was something that came up on an American, this actually came up on Mashable.com this week. America is getting a new feature on iTunes. It's actually just launched, called Try Before You Buy. And for some reason, I checked the Australian store, we don't have this. I want this feature. I want Try Before
You Buy.
Aren't
they free versions anyway?
I think so, but they put them all into one place, so it's nice and easy to find them, you know? And also... if they're in this category, you know that it's going to be a crippled version or it's going to be an ad-supported version. And you know, I downloaded a piece of software the other day that was free and doesn't say anything about light or anything like that. And of course, as soon as you buy it and load it up, it comes up with, you need to pay for this to have this feature. You need to pay for this to have this feature. You need to pay. And it's like, you didn't tell me this wasn't a full version. So having them all in one place like this, you know at least what you're getting straight off the bat. And I like that idea. So I wish we would get something like that in the App Store. But of course, this is Australia, and we get everything late.
Yep, we are the asshole end of the world.
And if we're not, we're awfully close to it. Now, now before we get to this story, because this story has you and I particularly intrigued, and we want to talk about that, I just want to talk about Bill Henson for a second. No, he's not the Muppet guy. This is Bill Henson, looking very, oh, woe is me.
Yeah, he just looks like he's not very happy with anything.
No. Now, Bill Henson is a photographer and artist who last year... had his exhibition raided and his stuff basically taken down because he shoots like young nudes and stuff like that. So like young children and stuff like that, but not pornographic. These are just art shots. David Hamilton with Bilitis and stuff has been doing this for years, right? Yeah. We are so freaked out in this society about, you know, about pedophiles and stuff that we basically just overreact to everything. And of course, we even had Prime Minister Rudd at the time come out and say, these things are disgusting. It's like, this has got nothing to do with the Prime Minister.
What,
you know? Why are you even weighing in on this, right? In the end, the courts found his stuff not pornographic and not illegal, and they allowed it all to go free, and he is back out touring with his exhibition and stuff like that. And
the damage is done, man. I'm sorry.
A lot of people... Exactly. A lot of people have already... And his photographs are... starkly beautiful. I mean, they are really... I've gone through and looked a bunch of his photos, and yes, they are young children on the most part, but they are just beautiful photographs. His lighting and his sense of composition is just amazing. Now, one of the arguments that was leveled against him was that a 12 and 13-year-old, or in this particular case, a 12-year-old girl in particular, could not offer consent to something like this. Now, mind you, it's the parents who are giving consent, not the girl. The parents are always there when he shoots. It's not a sexual thing. But the arguments against him were that, you know, children can't consent to this sort of stuff, so you can't do it. Well, this week, Bill Henson has basically fired back, and he's saying that he says it is a crazy, crazy argument. And he said, of course, a 12-year-old could consent. He said that 12-year-olds consent to a lot of things, and as parents, we consent our 12-year-olds to do a lot of things that really we shouldn't be doing. He said here, he said a 10-year-old can consent to something that might otherwise be unlawful assault. It's called dental work. He says, in this state, a 15-year-old can consent to a sex change operation. There are pretty serious things. Children's consent plays a major part in divorce proceedings all the time. He also went on to say that schools and parents also gave consent for children to participate in potentially harmful activities every day. I'm talking, in his quote, I am talking about the harm that results from underage contact sport. Imagine being a happy, healthy 12-year-old boy kicking a football around 1 minute and finding yourself in a wheelchair for the rest of your life. He says, there's no specific documentation to suggest anywhere, so far as my legal researchers have been able to discover, that shows that life modeling by children for artists results in physical or psychological damage. I thought, good on you, man. He's doing his homework. He's out there. He's really digging deep on this, because I think, yeah, I think this
there would be a piece of you that would just feel that you had to. Like, absolutely. I don't think anyone can safely say that if you're in that situation. It's like, and I think we covered this a while ago, didn't we? Like, when he first got absolved of his. Of his things, did we actually talk about this? Or was
I don't think we actually talked about it.
All right, well, like,
we talked about it when he actually got raided. I think it's before you were on the show.
Oh, okay. Well,
or just before you were, or just when you just first
joined.
Because
I was going to say that there was a situation that happened, actually. I went to go to a concert for a band called Massive Attack when they were in New Zealand, literally just before I came to this country.
Mm-hmm.
And the concert was actually cancelled and the money refunded because they went under massive amounts of... they were raided, the same sort of situation, because apparently one of the members had child pornography on his computer.
Right.
Now, it was proved very early on that there was nothing to do with that, but something had been flagged, a file had arrived on his computer. It was not something he had clicked on. They proved that. Right? It never took away the damage that caused.
No,
it's like, these are the kind of things you cannot jump on.
And
people have to realize, if you do something this hard to someone, they have all rights to fight back with all the amount
And I think it is time. I think we are reaching a time when we need to start saying enough of this insanity. Not every man is looking at children like they want to go sleep with them. Not every woman is some cougar who's going to jump on a school student. Not every adult-child relationship is a sexual relationship or some sort of pedophile case. This is just getting out of control.
Yeah.
It is completely out of control. It's completely out of control. And not all, quote-unquote, pornography is bad. You know what I mean? It's like we look at it and go, all right, these people who sit there and do exchanges of child pornography, of children doing pornographic things and blah, we're not condoning that. But what we're saying is things like Bill Henson, who is shooting artistic works of art and is in no way is sexually damaging these children, this is not a wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know, and is not making it. He's not a pedophile. He is not. He is not doing this for some sort of strange sexual gratification on his behalf. The parents are there. People have consented. It is all above board, and we need to start getting this into perspective. We need to start looking at what is going on. And Northy has just joined the chat room. Hello, Northy. You're a bit late today.
apparently, his boss made him come in on Saturday.
Right.
Which is terrible.
Terrible. Should be here. Mm. Tell your boss to start putting this on live in the shop. There you go.
There you go. That would solve the problem, I guess.
That's it. Callicent has just absolutely summed it up. Laws should punish the guilty, not terrorize the innocent.
It's so
absolutely
true.
It is just such a... We look at this and go, it is insanity. We're going to bring up a porn star here for a second and say all the controversy that surrounded Tracy Lords back in the 80s. Tracy Lords, for the young people in the audience, I'm sure everybody probably knows Tracy Lords, but Tracy Lords was a porn star who starred in 100-plus porn films, was a huge star, was gorgeous. Everybody thought she was just absolutely stunning. And then on her 18th birthday, basically said, oh, by the way, I'm 18 now, and had made all of these porn films starting from the age of 15. Right?
Jesus.
Nobody knew she was 15. She didn't look 15. And she had false identification. And basically, everybody was in a shitstorm. She's the only one that walked away from it unscathed, basically, because she went, eh, whatever. She knew exactly what she was doing. There was never a moment where she was being abused. There was never a moment where she was being taken advantage of. She was doing the taking advantage of. Now, all of her films, of course, are banned, except for, I think, two, which she made after the age of 18. But everything else is considered child pornography now. And you sit there and look at it and go, I don't understand. I don't understand the whole age of consent thing. I don't understand. People mature at different ages. You know what I mean?
But how do we police that, though, is a fair counter-argument.
Okay, but if you're an emancipated... All right, let's go back and say if you're an emancipated minor, okay, if you go and divorce your parents, which you can do in the eyes of the law, and you become an emancipated minor at the age of 16, let's say, and go off and have a job and work, which you are legally allowed to do, now, theoretically, aren't you now... with all within the rights and, you know, responsibilities of an adult, you have taken control of your own life. So in that situation, wouldn't the current law actually get very fuzzy?
Yeah, but I mean, isn't that kind of the reason why we don't necessarily allow kids to run away at 16? Like, look, dude, don't misunderstand me. I left home at 16.
So, yeah, so did I.
Exactly. I'm not saying that I'm one of these people that necessarily says that. It's just that, under those laws, you're still kind of, even in that situation, it means that you kind of more end up heading towards boarding or something like that. You don't try and go out and get a place because you're not going to be able to anyway. No one's going to trust you at 16 unless you move into a pre-established house or something like this. It's like, I agree with you to some level. Like, I'm saying that, yes, there are levels of maturity, but to law them, it's a difficult thing. Because
well,
do you want to...
But what makes 18 the magic age? That's the question. I mean, we sit there and we've already lawed them. We basically said 18 is the law.
But I think making them any younger could bring even worse possibilities.
Okay,
on top
but
of
let's
us.
Look and say in certain states of the United States of America, it is legal to get married at 13.
Yeah, well, those places are very scary
let's
places.
Let's not forget that in the Middle Ages, it was actually you were considered an adult at 13, and you would then start being the provider for the household. You know,
people that was a period of time that we don't look positively on, though, Dave. This is the thing I'm saying.
Well, I don't, you know, it's just one of those things where we sit there and we set these arbitrary ages on things, and I just wonder sometimes.
I don't think I'd want to see it any younger. It's the same reason that I don't like 15 and 16 year olds. I'd rather them go out and get it in a situation where
okay,
they understand
as an example,
that they should.
In Australia, you used to be allowed, there was actually provision in the law that with parental consent, you used to be able to pose naked for things like, you know, Truth newspaper and all this sort of stuff. These topless models could be 16 years old, right? Now you're not allowed to. Blanket, right? It's 18 blanket now. In going back even only 10 years ago, age of consent for sex was 16. Now it's 18. You know what I mean? It's like we seem to be changing the rules and goalposts constantly. And I sit there and look at it and go, really? I tell you, you know, I know a lot of 16-year-olds who are actually more mature than 25-year-olds. You know?
Look, I agree with that, dude. I think the biggest problem that I have is that I don't want the laws to go away because I don't want these things to become okay. I want them to be something that, like, laws are something for major society. It's like they don't monitor people when they're in the bedrooms in their home. It's like by having that there, it's one set of rules. What actually happens is usually something entirely different. It's like by having them there, it's at least a guideline more than anything. It's like I still think it should have been 16. I think 16 is a much more realistic age. But again, like it's one of those things where laws can be whatever they want. It's not going to stop people from doing things.
Yeah, well, it's true. And I just look at it and go, I just don't know whether or not we need to think about our ages of consent, and we need to think about exactly what makes you an adult.
Yeah, one of my favorite points somebody brought up once is something Octane said, which is that we can go grab a rifle and shoot people at 16. We're not allowed to have sex. It's like,
well, that's
wow.
Right. Well, in America, it's even worse. In America, you can grab a rifle and shoot somebody at the age of 17. You can drive a car at the age of 16. You can vote at the age of 18, but you can't drink alcohol till you're 21. Pardon?
Yeah. This is where laws get a bit fuzzy.
Yeah, it all gets a bit fuzzy after a while, and you start going, I just want the goalposts to be in one place so I can understand what's going on. Callison says, I think it should be up to the parents / guardians / emancipated teenagers.
Yeah, but we also know that there are a bunch of teenagers, there are a bunch of people right now who have kids choking in bedrooms as they sit and drink in front of the TV. So giving rights to the parents is not necessarily a great idea, because also you start getting to situations where if you give too much to the parents, then things start happening. Like
maybe what we need is maybe what we need is a provision in the law that we have a set age, we stick to that age, but there is a provision in the law that you can apply for exemption. So if you could actually, like Tracy Lords, if Tracy Lords wants to go and make a porno film at the age of 15, she should have been able to put in an application saying, I want, you know, special compensation. I am responsible. I do understand the risks and associations. I do, you know, basically put all the arguments forward, be looked at by whoever needs to look at her and so forth, and have a court basically give her an exemption to the rules.
Yeah.
You know, I think maybe that's what you need. You know, maybe we need the issue here is maybe we need to be able to have systems in place where, you know, somebody, let's say you've got, you know, a 15-year-old who is like Mensa smart and is already in university. Mm. That person is not going to want to be treated like a normal 15-year-old.
That's true.
You know, so anyway, it's an interesting issue. I do like the fact that Henson is fighting back. I wish him all the luck on this because I think it's pushing shit up a hill, quite frankly, in this way our society is structured at this point. But I do respect him for at least giving it a shot. Josh, I gave Josh a cartoon earlier before. No, I have it here. It's okay. They can actually look at it. This is the cartoon. Now,
it's very difficult to see from that.
It is
resolution.
Difficult to see. You're not going to be able to read it, but you can see the basic idea here is they're asleep and they've got, like, you know, electricity buzzing from their heads. The article that was recently put up on Slash Film, which a reader sent to them, and basically says, thanks to a friend, I came across something rather interesting. This Donald Duck comic strip bears a close resemblance to the plot of Inception. The Beagle Boys have entered the mansion of Scrooge McDuck while he is asleep and set plan to invade his dream to ask him the combinations of the vault door. Could this be the comic strip Nolan has read in his childhood and has Inception based upon? Now, Josh has read the panel that we put up there. What do you think?
I think it's an interesting... it's definitely an... It could have been. You know, even if it was only subconscious, and it's like he's got that idea buried in his head because of reading this comic, I would love to hear him actually respond to this. I really hope it gets viral enough that someone comes to him and asks. Because what I like, though, is that no one's kind of pointed out and gone, ha, you stole it. It's just gone, could this have had...
Could this have been the seed of the idea that started it? And reading it, I mean, it is really close.
Yeah. You've got the good guys, you've got the bad guys, you've got the mark, you've got everything.
It's you've got just... the whole infiltrating the dream to find the
I'm a little confused. The only thing I'm a little confused
is why are they tied up?
Exactly. Yeah, that's where I'm getting really confused, because it's like, yeah,
maybe they're tied up so they can't hurt themselves in the dream or something. I don't know.
I think they're tied up because they probably found them and now they're trying to warn them or something. We probably need the rest of the comic.
Yeah, because we've got the science dude there trying to do something.
And I know
that
he's on their side, and the boys wouldn't be there unless they were on the winning part of the side.
That's
but
right. So what
does,
we need to do
it does make sense though, because even if they were tied up, you'd still have to stop them from infiltrating the dream, because if they came out, they'd still have
so
the combinations.
So if anybody knows where we can get the rest of this comic strip,
oh, yes,
please let us know. We would like to read this issue. I don't even know what issue it belongs to, but it is the one where they invade Scrooge McDuck's dreams. So if you've heard this comic, yeah, or you've got this comic, even if you just scan the pages for us so we can have a look at it. We just want to see it.
I think, or at least give us a synopsis of the story.
Yeah, well,
that
you
would
go.
Be just as good.
That would be good, too, because I think it is very funny. And I'd like to know if they have an anti-gravity scene as well. And
yeah, wall-climbing scenes in a hotel? Nah. Seems to be more Western. I don't remember anything Western. But again,
so anyway, well, those are the points that I wanted to raise on this show. I mean, our after show is really kind of a free for all. If the chat room has anything that they want to throw in, there was another thing I was just thinking about earlier on. Oh,
the Bieber.
Oh no, I know what it was. Oh, the Bieber. We'll talk about the Bieber in a second.
Bieber.
I was thinking about the tech actually story that we did earlier. Mm. You know, this whole thing about, oh, I dropped my phone and it broke. Mm. Right. A thought occurred to me. Mm. It's not just a phone. Mm. It is $1,000 pocket computer.
Mm-hmm.
We wouldn't treat our laptops like this.
Mm.
And it makes me think that this whole idea of subsidized phones, where you're not paying anything up front, makes us think of it as a phone. This is not a Nokia candy bar phone. This is not a burner. It's not one of those plastic cheap phones that you buy for $38. If you pay full price, it's $1,000, right? But it's being subsidized out. And
well, it's kind of interesting, because can you imagine, like, even around the room, right, or moving houses or something like that, anyone that has an iMac, would not sit there and just like swing it around the room and chuck it onto the bed or anything like that, because you're aware of what it is.
And you're aware that it's got a glass screen, and you're aware it's got a hard disk in it.
And it's heavy.
And it's heavy.
It's just because it's small that people are like, well, it should be indestructible. I'm like, why?
Well, I think people are also looking at it and going,
bulletproof glass.
They're going, well, all my other phones are fine. Especially, I find this especially comes up when it comes between people who are moving to a smartphone for the first time.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to just having a mobile phone that they don't realize that this is not just a mobile phone. And I'm not talking about the iPhone specifically. It could be an iPhone. It could be an Android, one of the new Android phones.
It could be a Symbian phone, like even one of the new ones.
One of the high-end BlackBerries, one of the high-end Nokia phones. My Nokia N90 in its day was valued at $1,600. I mean, this was not a cheap piece of hardware, you know?
Even this thing, my Nokia, what is it, the N95. It's got an 8-gig hard drive and so on and so forth. It flips two ways and all that sort of stuff. That's still valued at like $800-$900.
Absolutely. And I think what's happened is that we look at these cell phones and we go, oh, I'm going to upgrade to an iPhone because, you know, I want all the bells and whistles. Oh, my God, the glass broke. It's like they warned you it had glass.
Mm.
They warn you that it is a pocket computer. They're not. It's not just a phone, you know?
I think people haven't made that established jump yet. People haven't realized that their smartphones need a change in name. It just needs to be computer. That can do phone calls.
Maybe
is
we
not...
need to go back to the term PDA.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Maybe that's what we need to go back to, because we wouldn't have treated Palm Pilots like this.
Exactly, but Palm Pilots were also, you know,
they were tougher, but
and they were giant.
Well, that's true. But the point is that, like, even with the Palm Pre, people associate the Palm Pre, which unfortunately died. What are we saying? Numero Zero says, the thing is, laptops have screens. The connection between the screen and the computer itself just seems more delicate. Yeah, okay, but we wouldn't go throwing our iPad around. You know, we look at the iPad and we associate the iPad with... Sorry, I'll put it up in front of the camera. We associate the iPad as being some sort of personal computer. We don't associate it with just being a thing we throw in our pocket with our keys, you know? I just wonder... Yeah,
I just think it's a size-related thing.
Yeah, I think it is. I think people get their smartphone and they go, it's just a small little phone. But it's not.
No.
It is actually a fragile, rather complex piece of hardware.
Yeah, exactly.
And people seem to forget this. And I think
this is the problem with the situation we're in technology right now, which is the fact that people have no idea of what they're getting anymore. Like when someone walks into a store to buy a computer, they don't... they want it for particular tasks, but they want to buy an expensive computer. People have just lost the line of where a computer is a particular product. People are like, oh, well, I'll buy something in future-proof. It's like, if you get a 4-core computer, it's not going to help you with your email.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to be faster. I had somebody walk in and buy a 4-core AMD machine, which has a 1.66 processor in each core, right? They brought it back the same week and said, my internet is no faster than my old internet. I'm like, number one, that doesn't change your internet speed. Number two, it's not going to make web browsing any faster because it has one processor working to do that. It doesn't need anything more. People don't understand what a computer does since we've moved multi-cores, so therefore computers are the same sort of situation. People bring them back going,
we don't value it anymore. That's the problem.
Exactly.
They've lost their sense of value. I think, Calisynth, you made the point that I was trying to make before. I obviously didn't articulate it, but Calisynth has said, and you pay $800 plus upfront for an iPad, so you associate it with a higher value than the iPhone. And that's what I was saying before. Because we get them subsidized on contracts now, we don't attach a dollar value to it. We go, oh, it's the free phone that comes with my plan.
Yeah.
They don't read the fine print that says, over the term, this is how much
you're paying for it. Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I think that's pretty much the case here. I think it's because we don't value our stuff anymore. I remember when home computers were first coming out, and it was always like, oh, you treat the thing with kid gloves, and you make sure you turn it off, and you keep...
Man, my first phone, I was afraid to pull it out of my bag. I just didn't want to break it. I was like, well, I paid for that.
My first iPhone was always like, you always put it down really gently on the table. You know, it's like, I was afraid of breaking the thing. And now I'm a little bit more casual about it. But I think what's happening is people are getting their phones, and they're just throwing them around and throwing them on the bed and stuff like it's any other piece of hardware, you know?
Sorry, Nordy's just come up with one that I've actually had, which is this computer is overpriced and it only comes with 5 screensavers. Amazing. Amazing how people think it works.
That's the other thing. When you talk to people about their screensavers, they go, oh, you got to have a screensaver. Actually, you don't even need a screensaver in this day and age. Not anymore. No. You know? LCD screens don't burn in. You know? These screensavers are really cosmetic now. Mm. That's all they're for. And people seem to still think they need these screensavers. It's bizarre. If anything, just making your screen go dark, if it's long periods of not use, just more or less to keep the panel, extend the life of the panel, you know. Now, what is it? It's also easier for our subconscious to calculate wind resistance and trajectories. What?
He's talking about the quad core situation. He's making a joke at how ridiculous the first quad core is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, that came to mind. I was thinking about that just between these two shows going, yeah, there is an issue here. The issue is we just don't.
We just don't care.
We don't care. We don't. And then we get upset when it breaks. And they say, that's going to cost you $500 to fix.
And they're like, why should I pay money? You give this to me for
free.
It's
was
like,
free.
Yeah, dude, that's
not quite how it works.
Well, and that's the interesting thing because, like, people get these expensive phones when really people like that. It's like builders. We had a builder come into the store recently and go off at one of the Telstra guys because he's like, this phone doesn't suit my purpose. Like, that's your fault.
Yes.
It's a $1,000 mini computer and you're taking it on a build site. You're sticking it in your pocket as you hammer things and smash your pocket into stuff. It's like, don't expect. We used to have phones built for people like you. They're not going to do the same things because they need like 6 layers of rubber.
The iPhone and all of these new smartphones are actually not back pocket phones. Mm. These are not phones that you stick in your back pocket and, you know, you sit on them and all this sort of stuff. This is a top pocket phone, you know?
Yeah.
This is a phone that you actually look after.
Exactly. You know? It's like, it's because we've now made them this wonderfully refined size and they work so well. It's so thin. People don't think about it. It's like when PDAs were out, a PDA would not be something a builder would buy. Why? No. Because they're just too impractical.
That's right. Absolutely.
Now that they're practical, everybody thinks that it should be suiting their tasks.
Yeah, I was actually looking at a phone from somebody who works at a coffee shop. I won't mention their name because we don't. We don't want to.
Speaking of dropping phones.
Yeah, there you go. We don't want to embarrass them. But they bought themselves an iPhone, and of course they carry it all day long at the coffee shop. And he brought his phone out the other day and said something's not working on it. And it was greasy, and part of the screen was cracked. And, you know, it's like you sit and go, oh, this is not a phone that you should really have in this environment.
No.
You know, it's not built for this, you know. It's not a durable device. It is built for the white-collar people, I'm afraid.
Look, it's unfortunate but true.
All right, last story of the day, and then we're going to get ourselves out of here. Anybody in the chat room a fan of Justin Bieber?
Bieber, apparently.
Bieber. I've always heard it as pronounced Bieber.
Who knows? I don't care.
Well, you might not care, but there seems to be some people that do because apparently they're going to make a biopic about his life because he's lived so long.
Yeah. Like, oh, dude, I got to show everyone this picture. I got to see if I can get it up to the screen. It's going to be terrible res, but...
All right, hold on. I'll put this camera up for you. There you go.
That awesome picture of him. I'll see if I can get that in photo.
Oh, there he is.
Word,
dude. What is he, 5?
In that photo, maybe. Yeah, no, it's just him throwing gang signs up, and I'm just like, you are far too young and far too stupid to be in anything.
I think, what is he? He's 14 or 15 years old, something like that, and they're making a biopic. I'm sorry, this kid hasn't even had a life yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're making a biopic of his...
I love one line of this review that I pulled up for two reasons, and I'll let you get back to it in just a second.
No, please.
Number one is the title, which is Hollywood Catches Bieber Fever. Sadly, this disease is not fatal. That's one of my favorite lines. The other one is where it says, the story of his life goes something like Eminem in 8 Mile. And then the next line says, seriously, there's nothing pretentious or annoying about that.
No, not at all. Oh. I love Callison that says, I'll borrow people's quotes from earlier. Burn it with fire! All right, so let's get to the punchline on this. Okay?
Oh, it gets so much better.
Let's get to the punchline.
Let's save it to the end. Let's tell them who's the director is because it's such a great choice.
Okay, so a biopic of Justin Bieber's life. We've got that part up.
Yeah.
Being shot. Should we say that part?
Oh, no. We'll leave that to last.
Okay,
That's the icing on the cake, dude. That's the cherry.
Being directed by the director of An Inconvenient Truth.
Yes.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't even know
I don't even know where to go with
those
that, right?
two together.
I don't even remember his name off the top of my head, but I don't even know where you go with that to start with.
Mm.
And starring as Justin Bieber, Justin Bieber.
So, of course, you know, they wanted to do that so they could capture the essence of the emotion of his role.
Now, I haven't actually seen a biopic starring. I mean, 8 Mile, okay, but he changed his name and it was, you know, it was like a fictional biopic.
Yeah,
you know?
And he's actually said that there are parts of that that aren't parts
right.
of his life.
And the only time I've actually seen, well, actually I've seen two in my life, biopics that actually starred the person that they were biopicking.
Were they really successful?
No. One was The Greatest, starring Muhammad Ali as Muhammad Ali, and one was Viva Knievel, starring Evel Knievel as himself, the stuntman. So, and these are both from the 70s. So we wow. haven't really attempted a biopic like this, starring the person who is supposed to be the person. It just makes my head hurt. But the icing on the cake, okay, this is the part that we're going to leave you with, is that we got the biopic directed by the guy who directed The Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore documentary, starring Justin Bieber as himself in 3D.
In 3D. I mean, like, how... Oh, dude, there's just so many reasons why that's stupid. I love the callousness that said, oh, it worked... So they're saying The Inconvenient Truth that will now be directing The Inconvenient Underage Pop Star. good line. Oh. Yes, in 3D, that is fantastic. That is definitely... I'm so close to actually going and seeing that just because it would be watching a movie that I just have no idea.
And you know, with the money and popularity of Justin Bieber at the moment, this is no conversion job. This will be shot in 3D, I'm sure.
Oh, dude, for sure. Apparently it's going to be splicing footage from his current tour. It's like, wow, so it's even going to be real life stuff.
Man, Northy has just gone, wow.
Oh, dude, I don't want to talk anymore about that.
I think I have just hurt people's minds. So
I'm
going to
leave you with that.
So we're going to
roll in your mind all afternoon.
We're going to leave you on that note because that was just, that was, to me, probably one of the highlights of the week in Oh My God news.
Yeah, that's something very special.
And you know, when we talked about, you know, what could possibly go wrong with that moment? Forget science. All I can say is the Justin Bieber biopic. What could possibly go wrong with that? All right, we're going to get ourselves out of here. I think we've done enough damage for one day. And besides, I've got a cold that I got to go nurse. So agree or disagree with anything that we've had to say on any of our shows, including the after show, except, of course, the tech has its own, look, tech has its own email address, but you are welcome to send tech feedback to this one as well, because this is our general feedback line, which is feedback@geekactually.com. The only reason tech has its own feedback is that it was established when we did that as its own show. It's just kept that way. We may consolidate them all down. You can also drop us a voicemail at 02-8011-3167. Sorry, I don't even remember I actually got through giving the address. It's feedback@geekactually.com. Now, we also have t-shirts and cups and all sorts of fun things, and there's going to be a whole bunch of new designs going up once we get our new artwork, which we'll come back to in a second.
So now's a good time to get one. So when we get really famous, you'll then have the antique ones.
The antique ones. That's right, because we're going to start pulling some stuff, some of the catalog out of there as well. cafepress.com.au/geekactually. Every dollar spent at Cafe Press will go back to the show to help us, you know, do work on the show. We don't make a lot of money off that stuff, let me tell you. Follow our Facebook fan page. You can fan us at facebook.com/... What is it? Geek Actually. Or if you go to geekactually.com, we have the link right there on the front page. So you can actually find it right there on the front page. And of course, this is just the after show. Make sure you check out the real shows. We talk about real tech and we talk about real movie stuff on Tech Actually and Film Actually, which you can find on iTunes by searching for those two names. Now, we will put links up, of course, to all of the shows in the show notes. So if we ever talk about any particular story or we have videos that we play on the show and you think I'm only an audio listener and I don't get to see all this stuff, if you go to geekactually.com, look up the episode All of the links for all of the stories we talk about are always in the show notes. All the video links, everything, okay? So that's where you find that stuff out. And if you want to watch this whole madhouse live, go to geekactually.com/live every Saturday at 12 p.m. is when we start, and we record all three shows back-to-back with little breaks in the middle. So by all means, come and join the chat room. They are a lot of fun. What is that? Sorry, just looking at the chat room and all I see is fucking sweet, I'll have 50. What is he adding to?
Maybe shirts?
Maybe. Cool. Buy 50. That'll be good for us. all right. And we also want to throw out a couple of quick plugs. First plug we're going to throw out, of course, is to Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Because Josh has...
RawDLC.com. It is a website about news, gaming, and stuff. And you should go check it out because it's awesome. You like the way I pause on the F and hold it. You guys can come check us out. This week we go out on Tuesday at 8 p.m. We usually go out on Wednesday. If you want to come watch us live, we do a similar show to Davey here, except for it's all games. So remember that it's all games. The one other thing I want to plug is if anybody's got a few spare dollars, we are making a drive for a computer at the moment. We need to replace our current one. If you guys have any spare money for either me or Dave also has a donate section on his, but we're driving towards to get the computer because we need to add a few functions that we can't currently do. And if anybody has a few bucks you can sling us, please let us know. And a special shout out to the people that have actually dropped money. I won't name you because a few of you aren't actually allowed to say it because girlfriends may get angry. So thank you for the donations, though. We're up to 80. We need to get to about 500. So anyone that's got a few spare dollars, please sling it our way. Dave, take it away.
Okay. And we also... Wow. Okay.
Just kicks back into gear.
Numero Zero has pointed out that our recording time is 10 or 9 central. Is that right? What are you saying over there?
10 or 9 central, I think they're meaning in America.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. I do know that our show starts, I think it's 5 or 6 o'clock p.m. Friday night, West, California time.
Awesome.
So it's about there somewhere. So that could be central. I don't know. Anyway, I can tell you it's UTC plus 10. So whatever the UTC time clock of you are... R is whatever, and then add 10 to that, or get yourself a universal time clock. Australian Eastern.
Sorry, I couldn't help but bring up that line.
Boy, we are really losing it this afternoon, aren't we? We also want to. Boy, it's getting late in the afternoon. We also want to just
stay focused, Dave,
because we've got to talk about Real Junkies. Real Junkies podcast. WeekendRonan.com. I love that domain. We didn't get any responses to our request. Last week we said, if anybody has really cool domain names, send them in because I love cool sounding domain names.
Yeah.
WeekendRonan.
WeekendRonan.com.
Is one of my favorite domain names because basically...
It's so easy to say too.
WeekendRonan.com rolls off the tongue and basically, as they say, on the weekends, they're their own masters. I love that. I love that philosophy. You can also search for the Real Junkies podcast on iTunes. R-E-E-L, remember to spell it correctly because it's like movie reels. And they drink a lot of tequila and review movies and they're a lot of fun and I love those guys, and hopefully one day we will line up our time zones and get them on this show because they are a lot of fun to listen to. We also want to throw a quick shout out to our friend Charlie, who was in our chat room during the movie show. Charlie and Jesse host the Movie Fan Cast, which can be found at moviefanhouse.com. It's kind of confusing because they're the Movie Fan Cast, but their site is the Movie Fan House. Just bear with those two changes. But if you are searching on iTunes, look for Movie Fan Cast. And they do a movie review by fans for fans, and they are a lot of fun to listen to as well. And I think that's it. I think we got all our plugging out of the way.
We're done, man.
I think we're done. Oh, no, one more. God, how can we forget? God. Josh Spencer.
Oh, of course.
Spencer Cartoons. We're plugging him a lot right now because he's doing us some great artwork. He is doing all of our new cover art, which will also be in the opening credits for our shows, and we'll put it on mugs and t-shirts, and it's just looking great at this point. And hopefully he'll have finished work to us in the next couple of weeks. He's away this week, so we couldn't do anything. But his URL, attackninja.blogspot.com. Gotta love that too. He's a cartoonist and he does some really good work, and we look forward to working more with Josh in the future. He also wants to come on the after show at some point, so we're gonna get him on the after show at some point. Now, very quickly before we go, the unofficial Geek Actually Movie Fan Club. Last 2 weeks, we have not had a fan club screening because of various commitments. This week, we have two. So We're making up for lost time. We're going to throw these up on the forum over this weekend. But on Thursday night, we haven't got times yet, but when we get the times, they'll be up on the forum, geekactually.com/forum. We are going to see on Thursday night Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and on Friday night we are going to see the testosterone-laden The Expendables. So
it's going to be a good week.
We're going to review both.
Even
of these.
If they're crap, I'm still going to love that.
Oh, I'm going to love The Expendables. It's going to be 80s nonsense. And Scott Pilgrim, I am
glorious 80s
nonsense. And I am so looking for forward to Scott Pilgrim because it looks like a lot of fun. And actually, if you want to have a little bit of fun, it's kind of silly, but if you want to have a bit of fun, go to geekactually.com. We have embedded there the interactive movie trailer. And basically it's designed up like a computer game and you hit points of the screen and you earn points and then you get bonus stuff to look at the end. So it's kind of fun. It's kind of silly. It's kind of stupid, but it's kind of fun. Okay. We're getting out of here now. Oh man, do I have everything lined up to where it's supposed to be? You know, I screwed this up all the time now. Okay. Here we go. It's too many shows on one board. That's the problem. Okay. We're going to get out of here. I'm going to say, if you need to follow me on Twitter, I don't know why you want to. I don't post that often, but it's twitter.com/DaveMcVeigh. Josh can be found at rawdlc.com and on Facebook. I'm sure if you look for him, you'll
give
find him. Desperate much?
No, I just enjoy the fun of it all. It's like, look, dude, I mean, I understand. I really do. And I know we're trying to finish up the show. I understand that, you know, I should say it nicer and so on and so forth. And, you know, I should be, you know, kind of more friendly about it. But in essence, it is what I'm doing. I am asking
for money.
I'm begging people for money.
Josh is a virtual panhandler.
Thank you, douchebag. I'm out of here.
All right, guys. See you all next week. Thank you.